ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचणोरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. भगवान् कृष्ण is now expounding what is called knowledge, jnanam. Usually, we think of jnanam as an end product. I see an object and I have the knowledge of the object. But in this particular context, let us remember, we are studying the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yogaha. And in this, the Lord very aptly says, Jnanam is ever existent, but the means to know as right knowledge is to obtain the qualifications. That preparedness, that qualification, only having which real knowledge will arise in our minds. That is called Jnanam. Jnana sadhanani is called Jnanam. And it is one of the most important topics because without having the right instruments, right knowledge cannot be obtained. It is impossible. If we look through a dirty mirror, whatever is in front of the mirror is distorted. Similarly, if our mind and body are not equipped properly, even ordinary knowledge cannot be obtained. As an example, for a very long time, means many, many thousands of years, people were under the impression that the earth is flat and the sun goes round the earth while the earth is completely stationary. Of course, scientists have debunked this long back. How could they do that? Because they had the right instruments called telescope and mathematics and equipped with the right intellect, intelligence, reasoning power, so they understood. Now it is an accepted fact. But before that, if anybody said that earth is not flat, probably he would have been killed, and in fact many scientists have been butchered, imprisoned, killed by many religious people. Jnanam here is means those qualities only having which we can obtain the right knowledge. Starting from 8th up to 12th we are discussing it. Of course, depending upon whether somebody adds the first question of Arjuna, in some versions it is not there. So, one verse difference will be there. I have included Arjuna's question for the sake of clarity as well as beauty. Starting with Amanitvam, etc., we had discussed the 8th one. Humility, modesty, non-violence, forbearance and uprightness. Service to the teacher, purity, steadfastness and self-control. We had discussed it threadbare. Then in our last class also, we had almost completed the 9th verse. Indriya artheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Dispassion towards sense objects, absence of ego, perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, sickness and pain. This what we had been almost completed. Indriya artheshu vairagyam. If we want right knowledge, mind is the most important instrument. But if the mind, very often mind is compared to a clean mirror. If this mirror called the mind is full of dust, dirt, stains, etc., the reflection also will be reflected in that way. That means we will not obtain right knowledge. So it is very important. What is the dirt? What is the dust? What is the impurities? What we call kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, delusion, pride, jealousy and many others. All other things are included in these 3. This is what the Lord is discussing in this 9th. So unless we develop some sort of dispassion towards objects which give us happiness, because if we find any sense object giving us happiness, we develop attachment called raga. And the contrary, some object is giving us unhappy experience, whether it is food, dress, environment, climate, or friends, or official people, colleagues, etc., then we develop hatred towards them, which is called dvesha. And the function of both these is to make our mind restless. And just as you cannot take a beautiful picture when the camera, either camera is dirty or our hands are shaking, whichever it is, a shaky picture only will come. It must be absolutely steadfast. That's why most cameramen, they use a stand so that there will be absolute stillness. Even the slightest tremor, either deliberately or helplessly, can happen. What is it that creates desire, kama, krodha, etc.? Our attachments or our dislikes towards the objects of in this world that we experience. So if we can control them, and we can control them to somewhat externally, but we have to control them through our sense organs. So both objects of the senses have also to be controlled. The sense organs also have to be controlled. This is called indriya artheshu. Indriyas plus indriya artheshu vairagyam. Of course, it doesn't come one day. It will take many janmas. But we have to start somewhere. Anahankara, the greatest obstacle to know that I am Brahman, that is the only knowledge which we will come in the future verses. Greatest obstacle is ahankara. What is ahankara? Wrong concept about myself is called ahankara. Instead of saying, I am a child of God, I am a devotee, I am a knower of God, I am a jnani, or I am a bhakta, I am a dasa, I am saying, I am so and so, I am X, Y, Z, I am the husband of somebody, wife of somebody, mother of somebody, father of somebody, child of somebody, or property of somebody. Every imaginable way, this aham is fine. Ahankara, whatever is added after aham, I am fine, that is my true nature. I am a man, I am a woman, I am young, I am old, I am beautiful, I am ugly, I am rich, I am poor, I am powerful, I am helpless, etc., etc. That is called ahankara. And Sri Ramakrishna used to say very often, if you want to realize God, get rid of this kara. Let it be a paka, mature ego. What is it? I am a child of God, I am a devotee of God, I am a servant of God, I am a knower of God. A true knowledge of God doesn't produce egotism. It will only produce devotional pride. I am a child of God. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I am an emperor because my mother is the empress of the whole world. This is, we have to develop, we have to get rid of kara, and we have to relate ourselves. That means we have to detach ourselves from all the objects slowly, slowly, but at the same time, attach our ego to God in the form of, I am a child, I am a servant, I am a devotee, etc. So this is called anahankara. Absence of ahankara is called anahankara. And this can be aided also. See, what does it mean? Usually, we have, developed likes and dislikes. For example, if I cannot see through my eye, I can't develop likes and dislikes towards forms. If I cannot hear, I cannot develop likes and dislikes towards the sounds. This is beautiful voice, this is beautiful music, this is ugly sound, is nothing will come. You shout, you abuse a deaf person. In fact, what we do is sometimes we look at children and we'll be smiling at them and calling them, you rascal. And the child will be transported with delight and going on laughing uproariously because he knows my papa loves me. He doesn't care the particular words you use, become the sweetest words for him. So, it is all dependent upon how we use these words and how we interpret them. Sri Ramakrishna very often used to call people Sala. Sala means rascal. But people used to be delighted because they know only whom he loves. He used to use that kind of words. We can recollect there was a lady who was serving Swami Vivekananda day and night. Hardly she used to sleep only 4-5 hours. And he used to scold her continuously and constantly. And one day, unable to understand him, she complained, "Swami, I seem to be displeasing you all the time." Swami asked, "Why?" "Because you are scolding me all the time." And Swami turned and said, "Whom else shall I scold you? Shall I scold somebody walking in front of this house, any stranger? I can only scold you because I cannot bear to see imperfections in you. My scolding is because I love you. I want to see you perfect in everything, whatever you do." And thereafterwards, that lady was craving for more scoldings because she knew, now she understood, Swami's scolding is his way of expressing his love towards me and his compassion towards me. Anahankara. Then another thing that we all love life. We do not want to be hurt. And when a child is born, it's a happy event. We celebrate it. When somebody dies, it's the most inauspicious event that can happen. Of course, we know old age nobody wants. And if there is unhappiness, nobody wants. And if there is what is called any type of roga, disease, also we do not want. We do our level best. Nowadays, this COVID, we go on putting on masks, we are getting vaccines, etc. All because we love life. And those who love life, what do they mean by that? There are two ways of loving life. I love my body, I love my mind, because I can squeeze as much of worldly happiness as possible through the only instruments that are available, which are body and mind. That's why it is very well said, this body alone, that means mind also is included, is the root cause of yoga, of bhoga and of roga. So most often, bhoga turns into roga after some time. This is inevitable. So the Lord is advising, janma is a cause of unhappiness. And then jara, janma, then mrityu is the cause of unhappiness. And then jara, old age, is a cause of terrible regret. That's why nobody wants to appear as old. And the cosmetic industry is the most profit-making industry in the world. In this world, there are two types of industries which will always thrive, whatever be the economic situation. One is food industry and another is cosmetic industry. Because we all want to appear to be young. Young means attractiveness, etc. But what, even though we are 100% conscious of it, by changing the appearance, by appearing to be young, old age cannot be avoided. We may deceive others. This person looks very young. This person looks very beautiful. But our body has its own limitations. And body has its own effect upon the mind. Everything has got the effect. But we are advised here, do you want to progress towards God? Do you want to know who you really are? So you have to avoid, I will have birth, I will have youth, but I will not become old, I will not suffer any disease, and I will not have any unhappiness. This is most unrealistic attitude. It is not only impractical, it is impossible. Many times during the course of these talks I mentioned, and any number of times it bears repetition. What is that? The payment we make for happiness is unhappiness. If you are not tired, you can't really enjoy rest. If you are not hungry, you can't enjoy food. If you are not thirsty, you cannot enjoy drinks. So on and so forth. You must first create unhappiness, a tremendous loophole, a hole. And then only you can, by filling it up, temporarily, you feel happy. But having said that, I will have birth, I will be living in this body, I will have a mind also, but I will not undergo any of these unhappiness, and that is not possible. Bodily body undergoes change, old age, disease, death, and accidents, and losing limbs, and getting injured, even Brahmagnanis, Jivanmuktas cannot avoid. But a Jivanmukta absolutely avoids. He is not affected in the mind. Always Sadananda Mayi Kali is completely happy. Why? Because he has that firm knowledge. I am not the body, I have a body. I am not the mind, I have a mind. Therefore, he enjoys. The mind is kept, whatever be the circumstances, in complete full happiness. Even for a Jivanmukta, to keep the body completely youthful, completely healthy, and without any accidents, that's an impossibility. Krishna had died suffering, Buddha had died suffering, Rama had died suffering, Ramakrishna had died suffering, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu died suffering, Jesus Christ was crucified. Every great person, every saint, like anybody else, has to go through all these things. This is what being mentioned here, Janma, Mrityu, Jara. Janma means birth. So do not rejoice if somebody is born. Of course, we are not telling that you should not be happy. He said, if anybody is born, that person is sure to go through all these changes. Who knows? Do you know whether a baby is going to survive next few days or even few minutes? If you rejoice, you will have to pay through suffering. We do not wish any child to die, but it can happen. It is happening. How many children are dying every single day? Take statistics. Then you will understand it. So, to be happy with birth and to be completely unhappy with death is completely irrational. If anything has come into manifestation, it is sooner or later going to go into non-manifestation. Janma, Mrityu. Then Jara, old age. Old age means, you know, not after 60 or 70. A child is 1 year old, is already old. For a 2 years child, from the viewpoint of 1 year child, already 1 year older. And from the viewpoint of a 2 years child, when he becomes 20 years, he is already 18 years older. And when this person attains 50 years, he is already old. Though we carefully avoid these words old age. Old age we don't want to use. Senior citizens and what is called gentlemen, gentlewomen, and even old people like to be called man and woman, girl, like that. 80-year-old woman would like to be called a girl. And this is the most unspiritual habit anybody has got. Accept the fact and completely welcome it. If somebody calls me an old man, I'll be very happy because I am that. Of course, if you call a young person as an old person, that may produce a ripple. But even then, he is old from the viewpoint of even 1 minute before. Okay. Janma, Mrityu, Jara. Vyadhi. Vyadhi means disease. Disease can be not only physical, it can also be mental. And it is said in the West, 40% of the population suffers from mental problems. What is mental problem? Unhappiness. If anybody says, I have a mental problem, but I am a very happy person, that's not going to be accepted. Physical disease or mental illness, both result, ultimate result is unhappiness only. And unhappiness can come even to so-called 60% of the normal people. When a person says, I am dissatisfied with my job, dissatisfied with my circumstances, I am not happy at all with my job, not happy at all with my family, not happy at all with what I am earning, not happy with what is going on around me. This is one of the biggest things. Somebody came and complained to me that so much of injustice is going on. I said, you stop reading the newspapers. All injustice will in course of time completely disappear, excepting a little bit that affects you. We unnecessarily purchase newspaper and purchase trouble, purchase worry. Stop reading really, seriously all newspapers, news, and you will not lose anything thereby. But supposing some important thing I miss, don't worry. You will have enough number of friends to inform you over and over again what is the news, etc. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. And Vyadhi, according to Vedanta, can come from three sources. That's why we call them Tritapa. from the physical body, from the external world, from the dissatisfaction of the mind. Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika. From any of these three. Then dukkha. Not to get something which I desire is dukkha, unhappiness. To get something, but not according to my expectation, is also dukkha. So dukkha, go on meditating upon, I want to go beyond birth and beyond birth, that will do. Because if I am not born, all these other things that are added here, mrityu, jara, yadhi, dukkha, and all these things automatically disappear. So these are called dosha anudarshana, defects that accompany every birth. So meditation upon these things, develop this life is okay, but it has these defects. And so I want to go beyond these things. This is the natural tendency of every human being. The moment we find some defect in something, the next thought that comes is, how can I get something which is these defect free? Your computer is booting very, very slow, or the monitor is not working properly, or the whole thing is functioning defectively, suddenly it goes up. What is your thought? Even if you are not able to get a new computer, your mind will be, how nice it would be if I can get these things. So, with every birth, all these things will be accomplished. So, if I want to be free from them, what is it? Do not wish janma. Do not be wishing to be reborn again. Then, if I am not reborn, will I become non-entity, non-existence? Many times the Lord assured, no, you are the Atman. And if you are attached to this, you cannot get spiritual knowledge. If you are not attached to these things, your mind slowly will get purified, and one day you are going to achieve on these things. These are the, what is called, characteristics we have to develop. Only when we have these characteristics, we are going to have that deep desire for knowing who we really are. Dukkha, dosha. And if you understand it, what did Buddha see? We know that one day he said, I want to visit the city. His father never permitted, because he was completely aware that the world is full of defects. And if his son Buddha, at that time his name was Gautama, Siddhartha, if he sees all these things, there is every chance he would renounce the world. But of course, even Suddhodana cannot prevent fate, because Buddha was not born to be a great king. Even though astrologers predicted, they did not know. Otherwise, they would have told, he is going to be a great monk. Stupid fellows, if they don't believe these Jyotishkas, these astrologers. Very few of them have the capacity to tell you. They will only disturb your mind. Here are the greatest astrologers. They told, either you will become a king. You don't need to tell. The son of a king automatically is going to become a great prince. And you know, in those days, Vandi Magadhis will be there. You are the greatest king in this whole world. Such a king like you had never been born, is not going to be born. It took one flattering the king. Is one of their professionals. These astrologers were professional astrologers. So he will go, he will become not an ordinary king like you, O Suddhodana. He is going to be the greatest king. In that respect, they were right. Because by chance, if Buddha had not become a sannyasin, greatest sannyasin, he would have become a greatest king. Anybody who is great, whatever he becomes, he will be great in it. If a great person becomes a great scientist, he will be a great scientist. If a great man turns his attention to cooking, he will be one of the greatest cooks. If this great man goes for fishing, he will be the greatest fisherman. How come? As what Swami Vivekananda tells, a student will be a better student, a cook will be a better cook, and a teacher will be a better teacher, and a teacher will be a student, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. Everybody will be the best in their profession. Why? Because what Vedanta tells, develop concentration, develop rationality, develop complete observance, observe the facts, and such a person cannot avoid to be great. So Buddha had become great. But what prompted him to renounce the world? Because he saw these doshas, defects. He saw an old man, he saw a deceased person, he saw a dead person. And of course, do you ever imagine Buddha never had headache, never had stomach upset, never had any dukkha in this life? In fact, if you study some of his biographies, he was always unhappy, not because of worldly objects, because his mind understood, I am not born like an ordinary worldly person. There is a great mission awaiting me, but I am not clear what is my great mission. And then one night he had this vision, and then these are the three visions, his old age and disease and death. And his mind became completely filled with dispassion. But what to do? Then he had the ideal, an ideal sannyasi. Like Swami Vivekananda used to see himself as a great monk, Buddha himself saw as the greatest monk in the world, and that right time had come. That very night, he renounced the world and he became the greatest because he was none other than God himself. What are we trying to say? Anybody who wants to progress in spiritual life, it is a must that he must find these defects in life. And so long as we have not found these defects, so long as we think life is a wonderful opportunity, maja karenge, khayenge, piyenge, I will eat, I will drink, I will be happy. And this kind of ideas, if they do not vanish from our mind, if we do not see the truth in the nature as it is, then he will not progress in spiritual life. Of course, I am not saying one should become what you call a negative person. No, see the fact, see the truth. That is what is said. Then in the 10th also it is said, asakti ranabhishvangaha putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. Two most wonderful spiritual qualities which are part of what is called knowledge. Why is it called knowledge? Because these qualities, these characteristics will lead for the right dawning of the right knowledge. What is it telling? Asaktihi anabhishvangaha putradhara grihadishu. Non-attachment, non-identification of self with the son, wife, home and the rest, and constant even-mindedness in the occurrence of the desirable and the undesirable. Asaktihi anabhishvangaha putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. Non-attachment, non-identification of self with son, wife, home and the rest, and constant even-mindedness in the occurrence of the desirable and the undesirable. Asakti, the first spiritual quality, one of the is 20. Remember, from 8th to 12th, in the 5 shlokas, 20 spiritual qualities have been expounded. So one of them is non-attachment, asakti. This was what Sri Ramakrishna was talking about. Sir, how shall I live in this world? This was Yam's question. Sri Ramakrishna answered, live in this world like a maid servant. And then Sri Ramakrishna, a superb master of descriptions, because he was a great observer, he gave this, a maid servant lives in the rich man's house. Many of the maid servants, they just do not come and go. Many of them live, they are given rooms there so that 24 hours they can serve their masters. What do they do? This is my Hari, this is my Gopala, this is my house, these are my gardens. He will be using these words. But in her heart of hearts, the maid servant knows, this doesn't belong to me. I have my own home at home. I have my own children at home. And I have come here only to earn some money. I have nothing to do with this master. Tomorrow, if I am thrown out, then I have a place to go and I will go. Maybe I will be jobless. Maybe I will have to suffer. But certainly these things do not belong to me. And this is called Karma Yoga. In other words, Sri Ramakrishna was advocating Karma Yoga through this fourth commandment, how to attain God. Cultivate Satsanga, Bhakti Yoga. Now and then go into solitude and call upon God most intensely with great yearning. That is called Raja Yoga. Always discriminate between what is permanent and what is impermanent. God alone is permanent, everything else is impermanent. This is called Jnana Yoga. And in this world, we have to act all the time. So, do Karma Yoga, live like a maid servant. He did not give this advice to sannyasins. Of course, it goes without saying for sannyasins also. But he gave to ordinary people. What type of ordinary people? Not worldly people, but spiritual people. This is what he is telling Bhagavan Krishna. After all, you know, what was Ramakrishna doing? As an avatar, as Sri Krishna, what he taught to Arjuna, he is repeating the same thing. Sometimes I make fun of them. You have nothing new to tell. Same old stuff, you are bringing in new words, that's all. Because you don't have any more stock. What is the real reason? Because this is the truth. There is no other truth. This is the only truth. This is called knowledge. Everything other than this is called ignorance. So, non-attachment, asakti. Then, anabhishvangaha putra dara griha adishu. Total identity. The identity of the ego doesn't stop with my thinking. I am this body, I am this mind. It goes on 24 hours. But the moment a person gets married, I am my wife or I am the husband. Then children come, I am my children. That's why it is said in the scriptures, children are nothing but one's own atma. One is reborn in the form of the children. So, the first one is detachment. Detachment as if they are separate from me. So, I have, what is that separate? Me and my body and mind, this is me. And asakti, detachment, non-attachment. But non-identification with what are the things? Abhishvangaha. Abhishvangaha means, earlier in the Yoga Sutras also we have seen, avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha and abhinivesha. Freedom from raga and dvesha is called asakti. And freedom from ahankara is, that is the first one. Avidya, freedom from avidya, asmita, ahankara. This is the way to become a yogi. These are called kleshas. And what are we bound? Raga and dvesha. That means what? Things happen, events will happen. Sometimes they are happy, sometimes pleasurable, sometimes the opposite. Under all circumstances, we should be a little bit detached. Not a little bit, but they should not affect us more. Why? Because a little bit it will be affected because we are human beings. But too much affected, then dharma, karma, even sleep also will go away. So, eva ashangaha, abhishvangaha means identity. Every grihastha, more or less, is identified with what? With children. Putra means children, not only son. Literal meaning is son, but it means putra, putri, and if not one, even if there are 10, the person will identify with each one of them. Dara, wife, tremendous attachment. I am my wife and I am my husband. Both of them will feel this. Then, griha adishu, house, property, bank balance, and so many other things. That is called slavery to this. So, we have to practice, I am not my husband, I am not my wife, I am not my children, I am not my house, etc. Even though we know, I am not my wife, I am not my husband. Only problem, I am the body and the mind. That is well confirmed. But inside the mind, if wife suffers, husband suffers, children suffer especially, our property suffers, as business goes down, who suffers? Business doesn't suffer, house doesn't suffer, car doesn't suffer, pets do not suffer, but I suffer most. Because of what? My complete identity, I extend my identity to all of these things. So, putra, dara, griha, adishu means everything. It could be money, including enemies. Am I attached to the enemies? Do I identify myself with the enemies? Yes. Somebody abuses me, then I identify myself with him. I feel as if he had beaten me, even though words. It's a beautiful incident. Buddha went out for bhiksha and there was a householder. He started abusing him and he abused him for quite a long time. But Buddha was completely anavishvangaha, anasaktaha. Completely, He was like a stone. And the man asked, how come I don't see you affected? I used to abuse many sannyasins. They were all affected. They stopped coming to me for bhiksha. They will never come even when I have and I feel like giving. But you seem to be completely unmoved. And such tremendous equanimity, tranquility, shanti is emanating from you. Then Buddha replied, my friend, look at how he was addressing. My friend, because you want to hurt me, but I know you are none other than myself. How can I hurt myself by hurting you? Look here. Supposing one person gives some gift to another person. Yes. And the person to whom this person has given the gift doesn't accept it, but returns it totally. Then to whom does that belong? Of course, to the person who has given. Because the person to whom it was given has not accepted it. This is what we call, we reject sometimes things that we get from Amazon, etc. for whatever reason. So Bhagavan Buddha is telling, if I do not accept something, if this person doesn't take, to whom does it belong? It goes to the person who has given it. So my friend, I do not accept whatever you have given me. It belongs to you. So you better take it yourself. What was Buddha talking about? He was talking about karma phala. You have given me this and the result, everything belongs to you. And if I accept it, then it will affect me. If I don't accept it, as if it doesn't belong to me, as if you never abused me, as if I don't even know you, therefore it doesn't affect me. That's what he is telling. Anavishvangaha putra dara griha adishu. Then, even if I am not having attachment, even if I am not identifying, these are the characteristics of a real spiritual aspirant. These are actually characteristics of a sannyasi, real sannyasi, paramahamsa. That is what he is telling. Ramakrishna was once telling, I do not have any relationship even with this wearing cloth that I have. But how much relationship we have if somebody spills some ink or some dirt or soup on my newly purchased dress, I feel burning sensation even though it may not have done anything to my body. Sri Ramakrishna said, a paramahamsa has no relationship including the dress, the body, the mind, etc. That is why, so Sri Ramakrishna, you abuse him for half an hour and next second he will go into samadhi because he is not affected. But if somebody puts one little hard word, harsh word, and then for 10 days you cannot sleep, you will be worried and you will be nurturing enmity. And when is the first opportunity I get? That way we cannot make the mind pure. So these are the characteristics we have to develop. So what is he telling? Ishta anishta upapattishu. Upapatti means prapti. Prapti means these things come in course of time, the nature of the world. Heat will be there in summer, cold will be there in winter season, mosquitoes will be there many times. Similarly, there will be people, good people, evil people, now all around the world, whether you want it or not, you are seeing these things also. In fact, it is increasing, that's what I feel. You cannot avoid it. But when these things come to me, I must remain calm and quiet. So, upapatti means prapti, prapti means obtaining these things. What should be? I have no control whether they come or they do not come. But I can exercise some control over my mind through, of course, it will take time. This is called samachitattvam. Upadesh nityam. Samachitattvam means let the mind not become completely upset. Let it remain calm and quiet. A little bit, as I said, it will be there. Okay, it has come. It has gone because our eyes are open, our ears are open, and we feel the effect of it. Okay, it has come. All right, okay, it has gone. But it doesn't prevent me from sleeping. It doesn't prevent me from being happy. It doesn't prevent me from meditation. It should not certainly prevent me from deep sleep. This is called sama chittatvam. Chitta must remain calm, tranquil. This is called chitta vritti nirodha. Doesn't mean you suppress the thought. It means let these thoughts come. Let them cognize what is happening. But keep them in that samatvam, yoga uchyate. Yoga is keeping the mind tranquil, whatever be the circumstances. Suppose nothing happens, what is your greatness? Even a stone remains absolutely same because it doesn't know. When we are sleeping, we are all great yogis because nothing affects us. Let somebody abuse us, let somebody try to do whatever they want to do, so long as we are not aware of it, we are like yogis, but we are not yogis. Why? Because the moment we come to know what the other person has done or is intending to do, and we become agitated and we take what is called proactive steps. So, we have to keep, we means who? Those who are sincerely wanting to progress in spiritual life, they must always keep their mind calm and quiet. Because the image of God, the image of an ideal, will remain steadfast only in an unflickering type of mind. Then, how much time? For 1 hour? For 10 hours? No. Nityam, constantly. Constantly for eternity? Not for eternity. As long as we have not realized there is no other person, the person who is inimical to me is none other than me. The person who is showing the greatest friendliness towards me is also none other than me. So long as I do not identify myself with everything, everybody else, so long I have to practice it. Nityancha samachittatvam ishta anishta upapatish. And then another meaning is, these things come only for few people. There are lucky people. They never go through all these things. That is called the greatest ignorance. Everybody, saint or sinner, kings or poor people, everybody have their own worries, their own likes and dislikes, events that bring them pleasure and displeasure also. Everybody, so long as there is a body, so long as there is a mind, these events will not stop happening, but bodily we cannot prevent them. Mentally we can train ourselves so that we react in a most positive way. This is the what is called samachittatvam nityam ishta anishta upapattishu. That is, these qualities, non-attachment, that is, whatever happens, keep the mind not being affected. Non-identification, which we have, everybody goes through the body, through the mind, to the family members, to religion, language, food, etc. Non-identification of self with son, wife, home and the rest. Because these are the nearest things, these are the greatest attachments. And constant, even-mindedness in the occurrence of the desirable and the undesirable, etc. In the Bhagavad Gita itself, we get this one. There are some people who pretend to be calm and quiet outside, but inside they are fuming, they are scheming. Karmendriyani sanyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimodhatma mithyachara saha uchate. A person is called a hypocrite who, while showing to the whole world that I am not affected by them, but inside he is constantly thinking, brooding over likes and dislikes, how to take revenge, how to obtain more enjoyable things, etc. Such a person is called a hypocrite. Let us not be hypocrites at all. That is why, again, Bhagavan says, yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. Yogastha, try to be a yogi, nityam, all the time. Whatever you do, sangam tyaktva, giving up attachment, discharge your duties, O Arjuna, and then whatever results will come, they may be good, they may not be good, they may come, they may not come, they may come later, they may not come at all. That's why it is said, whatever action we do, let it be as an offering to Ishvara, Ishvara Naivedya, Arpana Buddhi. But whatever happens after that, Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. This is the Prasada of Ishvara. That has been expressed so beautifully. Sakali Shakali Tumari Icha. Icha Mai Tara Tumi. Tomar Karma Tumi Koroma. Loke Bole Ami Kori. O Mother, it is you who, through this body, through this mind, inside this BM complex, doing everything. Just in our earlier class, this Dakshinamurti Stava, that is what he said, the Lord is there like a great lamp inside a pot. As I said, what was the thought? The body and mind. Through all this, buddhi, manas, and then sense organs, and then organs of action, interacting with this entire world. But who is doing? It is that great light in the form of awareness, in the form of consciousness. So, this nobody can avoid in pleasant and unpleasant situations. That's why there is a beautiful shloka. Avashyam bhavi bhavanam pratikaraha bhavetyadi tada dukkhai nalipreran nala rama yudhishthiraha. There is a beautiful work called Panchadashi. And in that Panchadashi, written by Swami Vidyaranya, this particular verse is there in the 5th chapter, 55th shloka. Avashyam bhavi bhavanam. So whatever is to happen, that's going to happen. Whether he is a saint or sinner, is a big man or small man, for everybody, whatever is going to happen, is going to happen. Pratikaraha bhavet yadi. If there had been a remedy whereby we can escape what is to happen and prevent what is unpleasant to us and make it happen what is not going to happen. Tada, if that pratikara means remedy really existed. Nala Chakravarti, Rama, Sri Ramachandra, Yudhishthira, the Pandava Agra, Yudhishthira, Dharmaraja, Dukkhaihi na lipyeran. They would not have suffered, because had they known any remedy, they would have been the first person. If there was any remedy, they would have been the first people to understand it, to know it, to obtain it. They would have been happiest people, and they would have shared that secret with all of us. But they had to go through literally burning hell. They have been roasted most of their life. If they could not escape, who is there in this world who can escape? That's why Sri Rama Bhajo, Dukhame Sukhame. How many? Kahi dhoop kahi parchhaya hai. Prabhu ki maya kaisi hai. Look at the glory of the Lord. Kahi dhoop, somewhere there is bright light. Kahi chaya, somewhere there is shadow. This is the nature of the world. Nobody can escape it. So, develop. What to develop? That is what the Lord is telling, that you develop all this asaktihi, non-attachment, anavishvangaha, non-identification with the son, wife, home and the rest, and whatever events happen, constant even-mindedness in the occurrence of the desirable and the undesirable. So these are the called jnanam. Instead of saying the result of all these characteristics, only in the presence of these characteristics, right knowledge can be obtained. Without them, do not expect it. Then there is a doubt comes. Suppose God is gracious. I don't have these qualities. Out of His grace, can He not give me all this? He cannot give direct knowledge. Then what is His grace? He will make me, my mind, completely mature in this and equips me with all the spiritual qualities, and automatically, just as a curtain is removed, light which is outside comes in. Or even better, when I clean my window, which is full of dirt and soot, automatically the light streams in. By the grace of God, makes me clean up this window, and the natural light which is ever present just stream in. Knowledge automatically comes, because jnanam is nityam. Beautiful ideas. We will discuss tomorrow morning further. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda and Swami Adbhutanandaji Maharaj, whose birthday celebration is today, may they all bless us with bhakti.